Blog Talk Radio.
There you go.
Father God, in We thank you, Lord, for this is the day that you have made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, you are our everything. You are our life, our love, our joy, our wealth, and our health. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. You're the completeness of our families. And Father God, you are Jehovah Sidkenu. You are the Lord, our righteousness and our forgiveness of sin. Father God, we repent of everything we said, done, or even thought that was displeasing in your sight. Please forgive us for every sin of omission and commission, as we forgive everyone of everything they've ever done to us, whether real or imagined. We thank you, Lord, that their names are now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We forgive ourselves. You hold no grudges, no resentment, no guilt. We thank you, Lord, for another Tuesday, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we say, hallelujah. Reveal yourself to us tonight. Open up the eyes and the ears of our understanding, God. Open up our hearts so we can receive what thus saith the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let revelation, wisdom, and knowledge flow as the word. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for touching and blessing every home represented, oh God. Meeting every man, woman, boy, and girl at the sound of their, at the point of their need, and then giving them super abundantly above. And we praise your name, and we glorify your name, and we honor your name. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 36, 100-fold, even a 1,000-fold increase in blessings. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you and your satanic cohort. You're under our feet. Hallelujah. We say, get thee behind us, Satan. We curse you from the root and command you be bound in Jesus' name. So Father God, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We worship your name. We magnify your name. We glorify your name and we bless your name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. For the last
Hallelujah.
We have been discussing the 9 types of prayer. And one of the things that Neil Reyes has shared to us is that, you know, a lot of us try to put things in a box. But see, when you pray, you may be dealing with 4 types of prayer at one time.
Mm.
So don't try to put them in a box. Oh, this is the prayer of hallelujah, a prayer of intercession, and then you start praising and magnifying God. Guess what? That's the prayer of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. You will be using more than one type of prayer at any one time.
Mm.
So don't lock yourself in. We're just going through this so you can understand the 9 types of prayer. Prayer of petition or faith. Prayer of agreement. Supplication. Prayer of dedication and consecration. Prayer of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Prayer, casting all your cares upon the Lord prayer. United or corporate prayer. Intercessory prayer. And praying in the Spirit. We're learning all about all of that and more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. At this time, we're going to pick up where we left off last week.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Minute. Today, we're going to be continuing our series on the types of prayer, and today's prayer we're covering is the prayer of thanksgiving. Get ready. Today's topic that we're going to be discussing about is the prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is the prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Like I said in our intro, we're continuing with our series on the types of prayer. We taught on the different types of prayer starting last week, and we'll be completing them this week. And we're covering 9 main types of prayer that are described in the Bible. Today's prayer that we're discovering or talking about is the prayer of thanksgiving, oftentimes referred to as the prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Now, the reason why this is such a powerful prayer is that all centers around our free will. The fact is, God has created every person with their own free will. And although he desires greater than anything for them to be able to worship him and fellowship with him and have a personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the fact is, he gives us all free will. And where the power of this particular prayer rests is in the free will that he's given man. In other words, when we praise God and we present a prayer of thanksgiving to him, and we do it, it's done with the free will. That's not done because he makes us. You know, it tells us in Isaiah 1:19 that if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. When we go before the Lord and we serve him, it's one thing for us to be obedient but not have a willing heart. It's a different thing for us to have a willing heart but not be obedient with it. Well, Isaiah 1:19 states that if you have a willing and an obedient heart, you'll eat the good of the land. As we begin to talk about this, there's a teaching I gave previously, and if you haven't watched it, I invite you to go back and check it out after this video. It's called The Doorway to Knowing God. And in that teaching, I talk about some simple steps. I even give a little bit of my own testimony of how I came to know the Lord. And then I give some simple steps on how to grow your relationship with the Lord. I'm going to tell you that one of the best ways to grow your relationship with the Lord is actually through prayer, but specifically through this prayer. And what I will say more than just through this prayer, but it's actually more of cultivating a lifestyle of offering praise, thanksgiving, and worship to the Lord. You know, one of the things that my wife and I have raised our children on since they were, you know, old enough to start speaking is that they need to learn to be thankful for what they have instead of ungrateful for what they don't. When we are thankful for what we have, I will tell you that that is a key to success. Having a heart of gratitude is a key to success. In fact, I will tell you that one of the things that we found success with in life is that when those who are around us get blessed, I don't care if we're at a, if we're eating at a restaurant and we're by the window and someone drives up in a brand new car, or if it's someone we know and they get blessed with a brand new car or a new home or raise up their job, we always express a heart of gratitude to the Father that he has blessed them with that opportunity. And I'm going to tell you that I see that as a pinnacle key to success. And I know I'm not teaching on success today, but if I were, I would tell you that developing a heart of gratitude or with the Lord, cultivating a lifestyle of praise, thanksgiving, and worship is a pinnacle key to success. And like I said, you have to have a willing and obedient heart. So it's not just about an obedient saying, oh, that's great, they've got that. But it's about cultivating genuine praise, thanksgiving, and worship. I want to get right into our teaching today, but before we do, I'm going to give you a couple foundational scriptures that we've already read to you. And these are scriptures that illustrate why you should be confident in your prayer walk with the Lord. I want you to turn to 1 John 5, and we're going to read verses 14 through 15, or you can follow us on the screen. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked before of him. Now, one of the things I'll tell you is it tells us that when we ask according to his will. Now, some people say, well, I don't know what God's will is. Then read the Bible. Some people may say, well, how do you know what God's will is? Read the Bible. God's will is expressed clearly within his Bible. Now, it may not be something that you cover the whole Bible from cover to cover within a week, but the more time you spend in his word, the more time you'll spend growing. If you are just starting to read the Bible and you haven't read it before, I recommend you start in the book of Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs in the Bible. That means one proverb or one chapter for every day of the month on a typical month or a 31-day month. I recommend that you start there, not that you stop there, but that you start there. And if you start reading the book of Proverbs, one proverb for every day, so if today, for example, is the 4th, then read Proverbs 4. If today's the 13th or the 20th, then read whatever day lines up in accordance with that. But what I will tell you is that it's important for you to start reading the word so you understand God's will. That being said, let's go on to our next scripture. Our next scripture that we have is actually going to be Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. praising God is a faith principle. In fact, I will tell you that once you've prayed for something, the act of praise, it's a grounding principle. In other words, it keeps us rooted and grounded in faith. When people ask sometimes, how do I operate in faith? Or how do I remain in faith? The key principle to remaining in faith or operating in faith is praise or giving thanksgiving, worshiping God, worshiping Him for what He's done. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. So in other words, don't be moved by your natural circumstances. Don't be moved by what you see or what you don't see. So many times people are so moved or easily moved by what they see, whether if it's or what they hear, whether if it's that report from the doctor or whether if it's that bill that's sitting in front of them or multiple bills sitting in front of them. Don't be moved by the circumstances. Other times they're moved by what they don't see. Maybe they're standing on the word for healing, but they haven't seen it manifest yet. Don't be moved by what you don't see. Operate in faith. Remember, we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to go ahead and read you another scripture, and this scripture actually talks directly about the prayer of thanksgiving. This is out of Colossians 4:2. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with it and thanksgiving. Now, as I was studying this scripture, the word vigilant really popped out to me. And as it popped out to me, I was before the Lord, and I was asking, you know, vigilant. You know, that seems like it has extra emphasis there. So He led me to go look up what vigilant means. The word vigilant actually means this. It means keenly watchful to detect danger or wary. It also means ever awake and alert, sleeplessly watchful. So ever awake and alert. If we go back and plug that into the scripture, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. That means continue earnestly in prayer, being everly or ever watchful, awake and alert in it with thanksgiving. In other words, the way you stay alert or awake in it or vigilant is with thanksgiving. In other words, you're constantly keeping your eyes on what you prayed, staying in thanksgiving. Constantly watching what you've prayed, but with thanksgiving. In other words, you're not praying it over and over and over again. You pray it once, and then you thank Him. It's the prayer of thanksgiving. You are thanking Him continuously. I would tell you that this one prayer right here bookends every prayer you will ever say. Any prayer or any type of prayer you ever say should always be bookended with the prayer of thanksgiving, or what's referred to as the prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. You should always be thanking Him continually with thanksgiving. That's how prayer comes about, is through thanksgiving. I want to go ahead and take you to another scripture, but one of the things I want to remind you again, and we said at the beginning of the video, that the power of this prayer is through free will, or this power of this prayer operates is through free will. Why? Because there are going to be times that maybe you don't feel like praising for it. There are going to be times that maybe you feel discouraged or down or you don't want to, but it's the power of free will where you're able to go before Him anyways because you love Him, because you trust Him, that you're able to praise Him. Let's go ahead and go into another scripture. This is going to be out of Psalms 22:4. It says, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. Psalms 9:1 through 3 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. The act of praise means that even when the circumstances aren't right, we are praising God. Or at times it could be circumstances are just fine, but you're waiting on the answer to the prayer. You know, prayer is not always praying for it to have a material object surface within your life. It's not always praying for the new home. It's not always praying for the, you know, new job or praying for the new car. Sometimes it's praying for the healing, but other times it's praying for answers. Sometimes maybe you need a clear path or a clear understanding of what your next steps are in life. It tells us in the Word that God's commissioned our footsteps. But when we ask Him for wisdom, it tells us He will give us wisdom. But once we've asked for an answer, whatever that answer is, you're to bookend it with the prayer of thanksgiving, thanking the Lord. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging. I want to encourage you to swing by our website where you can find all of our teachings. If you haven't seen our other teachings, I invite you to get connected with them. We got bunches. We want to invite you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. In addition to that, we want to remind you to swing by our social media and connect with us. You can find us on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter. We want to invite you to connect with us. We stream all of our teachings at no cost 24 hours a day. And we invite you that if these teachings are ministering to you, then subscribe to our YouTube channel and share those teachings on your social media with your friends. There's a good chance that if these teachings are feeding you, they're going to feed your loved ones around you. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and He loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
All right, we have
any questions or clarity? Everybody got the scriptures?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I want you to go over the scriptures again.
John 5:14-15.
Uh-huh.
Philippians 4:6.
Uh-huh.
Colossians 4:2.
Okay, before that, he gave you 1 Corinthians.
Say that again?
Before the Colossians, he gave you 1 Corinthians, and I didn't hear the verses to it.
2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians what?
This was like a sidebar.
Okay.
There wasn't one of the foundational scriptures. There was like a sidbar.
Okay.
There was 2 Corinthians 5:7. There wasn't one of the foundational scriptures.
Okay, gotcha. So Colossians 4:2.
Uh-huh.
Colossians 4:2.
Then Psalm 22:4.
Uh-huh.
And then Psalms 9:1-3.
Okay. He gave something else. It was something 1:7-10. But I don't know what it was. Did you hear it, AJ?
7-10, you said?
It was something, first chapter. It was going so fast. But that's okay. It wasn't a foundational one, so go on.
I thought it was 1 Corinthians 5:7, or 2 Corinthians 5 and 7.
No, that was
2 Corinthians 5:7.
That was 2 Corinthians 5:7.
Okay, it was one more after that. 1 and 7. That's all right. Go ahead. All right, that was it.
Any questions? Clarity?
This is like three pieces to this particular prayer. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. All of these work together, right? It's a free will.
Thanksgiving and worship.
Mm-hmm. And it's a free will prayer.
Yeah. How many minutes do we have left?
3.
Oh, okay. Any questions or comments?
Now.
Okay. I think one of the things that was significant of what he said was that this prayer is a prayer that bookends a lot of other prayers. You know, we said that with the types of prayers, you may be dealing with 3 or 4 types of prayers at one time. This is one prayer. Kind of prayer that is in all your prayers, even prayer, petition, or faith, or agreement, or all the others. You're gonna have a time where you thank God and praise and worship and thanksgiving. And you may hear people talk refer to it as a prayer of praise, or a prayer of thanksgiving, or a prayer of worship. Or you may hear him say all 3, praise, worship, and thanksgiving. It's the same. We're magnifying God. We're adoring him. We're exalting him. Hallelujah.
Main thing is having a grateful heart.
Yes. Gratitude. Gratitude determines your altitude. Actually determines your relationship. It enhances your relationship with God when you thank him. It brightens the day. You wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Time's up, isn't it?
Yes. It is now. It's 7:25 now.
Today we're going to continue our series on the types of prayer, and today we'll be discussing the prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord. Get ready. Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is the prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord. You know, when we talk about the different types of prayers over the last week and over this week, we've been covering a mini-series where we've been covering nine main types of prayer that are covered in the Bible. In these prayers, our desire is to help you understand how to pray better. And the reason why is as we were before the Lord instructed us about helping people in his prayer. In fact, if you back up before that, we actually had dedicated our past several Fridays for several weeks now where we were teaching on the names of God. And the reason why the Lord had us do that is because he wanted us to focus on prayer time or the importance of prayer. So if that's important to God, it should be important to us. Sometimes you'll hear people say things like, well, all you can do now is pray, or you know what? Prayer is like your last resort. Well, I'm going to tell you that that's actually not the case. In fact, when you cultivate a healthy prayer walk, your prayer walk should be the first thing you go to at any time that you have a need or need an answer or desire, whatever it is. Any time that you have a situation that arises in your life that needs attention, prayer should be the first thing you do, not the last. Well, today we're going to be continuing, and today we're talking about the prayer of casting your cares on the Lord. Now, what I will tell you about that is this particular type of prayer deals specifically with trust. Now, one of the things I'm sure you guys have caught on by now is that prayer is much like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is man or people try to compartmentalize how God works. In other words, they try to have these little boxes that they put God in. And when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating, they try to have this one little box that's operating at that time. And if another one operates, another little box is operating. Well, I'm going to tell you that that's not how God works. In fact, when the gifts of the Spirit move, oftentimes it's several gifts supporting each other. With prayer, it's much the same thing. Now, in our series, we've talked about that. The reason why most people sometimes, I should say most people, but the reason why people at times don't get their prayers answered is because they're not praying in the correct manner. In other words, there's specific rules to prayer that govern how we pray. But oftentimes when we're praying, several prayers will support each other. For example, if you're doing a prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord, that may start with you casting your cares upon the Lord, but it may go into a prayer of petition and end with a prayer of thanksgiving. So sometimes there's multiple prayers that come together. Sometimes there's specific prayers you pray. But it's important to understand that when God operates in prayer, when he teaches you how to operate in prayer, I should say, sometimes it's not just one type of prayer operating, it's several operating together. And what's important is that when you pray, it's not that, okay, I need to do the prayer Thanksgiving Day, or, oh, I need to do a prayer casting my cares upon the Lord Day. It's not like that. It's more of you understanding the types of prayer that are out there and the rules that govern them. Let's go ahead and jump right into Scripture, and I want to talk with you about the main verse that pops out when we talk about casting our cares upon the Lord. It's out of 1 Peter 5:7. If you have your Bibles, why don't you read with us? If not, you can follow on the screen. Let's read. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What I will tell you about that is casting your cares on the Lord, it literally translates as you getting your cares and throwing them onto God. In other words, it doesn't mean you just coming to him and subtly handing them to him. That's not what casting your cares means. Casting your cares is the act of aggressively grabbing whatever cares you have, whatever worries you have, whatever is weighing you down, whatever troubles you have, and getting those cares and aggressively throwing them onto him. Now, some people think, well, I don't want to hurt Jesus. You ain't going to hurt Jesus. He's telling you to throw them on him because he's got a net big enough to catch them. When you cast your cares on the Lord, it's aggressively throwing them onto him. I want to read you a couple more scriptures so that you start to understand why this is an important prayer. The next one we want to go to is out of Psalms 56:3. It says, but when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. When we talk about being afraid, most of the times when people need to go before the Lord with a prayer of casting their cares upon the Lord, it's because they're dealing with fear in some type of area. Fear about the bills, fear about school, fear about studying, fear about the test they got to take, fear over their job, fear whether or not if they're going to have a job, fear whether they're going to get the promotion, fear over their relationship, fear whether their marriage is failing, fear over whether they're going to get a divorce, fear over their children, whatever it is. And I'm not trying to speak fear in your life, but what I'm telling you is that usually what happens when a person's heart is weighed down is there's some type of fear that's trying to come upon them. You know, it's real easy to know when something's from the Lord. When something is from the Lord, even though our mind may not understand it, our heart should be filled with peace. In fact, it tells us in Philippians 4:7 that the peace that transcends or surpasses all understanding be upon us. In other words, sometimes your mind, the logic of your mind, it may not make any sense, but there's a spirit of peace inside you that comforts you. At other times, though, it may make sense in your mind, and it seems like it's the right thing to do, but inside you're in turmoil, you're burdened, and you're heavy. And in those particular cases, that's the Holy Spirit telling you that's not his best for you. No matter how good that situation looks, no matter how good that thing sounds, it is not the Lord's best for you. I'm going to read you one more scripture, and then we're going to go into the how to pray this prayer. The next one's out of Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. When we talk about the prayer of casting our cares upon the Lord, this is something that we can couple with the prayer of petition. In fact, I can think of a time a while back, a few years ago, where I was going through a very difficult situation. I was working full-time at a certain environment, and just it seemed like things were very uncomfortable in that environment. They were trying to make some changes within that environment. And even though I had been honoring my employer and doing well, things were just unsettling and uncertain in that time. And I was heavy with it, and fear was trying to come on me day and night. In fact, you know, it felt like at times when I would go to bed that it would be like, you know, when I lay down and got quiet, that noise tried to get so loud. So I went before the Lord and I prayed, and I remembered the prayer of petition. And so what I did is I went before the Lord, and in an open prayer, I consecrated myself to him in a prayer of consecration, and then I turned around and I opened in a prayer of casting my cares upon the Lord, and I brought to him those weights that were on my heart. I made it known to him, and then I drew out a prayer of petition where I wrote step by step, accompanied with his promises in the word, the things that I was concerned about and that I needed freedom from. I put specifically on there how I wanted him to answer, and I put his promises on there to support and back that up. I want to let you know that that entire situation reversed itself. In fact, it reversed itself so strong, I don't have time to go into all of it, but it completely did a 180 from the way it was at to where it was actually a blessing afterwards. And I'm just going to tell you that when you're heavy with something, all you have to do is bring those burdens to the Lord. The way you do a prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord, there's nothing elaborate to it. It simply means you coming to God in full surrender, surrendering whatever weight or heaviness is on your heart or on your mind, and giving it over to him. And how do we give it over to him? Casting your cares doesn't mean just putting it up to him. It means grabbing those cares and tossing them on him. In other words, you're grabbing those cares and you're aggressively throwing them on him, because he's able to take it for you. And then once you do, you don't go back and look to see what he did with it. The moment you get it and pass it on him, that thing is gone. Yes. And no matter what your circumstances around you tell you, you stand sure knowing in the word of God that he's quick to perform his word, that he has your best in mind, and that he's already resolved that situation. And then what do? You stay in a prayer of thanksgiving and continual thanks, thanking him for the solution to that outcome that you need, thanking him that he's freed you, that he saved you from that situation. Guys, I hope you found today's teaching encouraging. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can check out all of our teachings that we post on there. They're all available to be able to be streamed 24 hours a day at no cost. In addition, we invite you to connect with us on our social media, either on our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, or on Twitter. If these teachings are meaning something to you, then help us get the word out. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and to share these teachings out with your friends and coworkers and families. You'll be surprised. Sometimes simply by sharing it out to your Facebook page or your social media, someone might click on it that you don't even know they're clicking on it, but you get credit for that because you're sharing the word of God. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Question and clarity with three scriptures. Everybody got them? Foundational scriptures.
Okay. And this is one of the prayers that want to be with one of the other prayers also, right? Like he was saying that it might come with like the prayer of petition, you know, like when you're praying, right?
Yeah, a lot of times you don't have more than one prayer together.
Mm-hmm. And the scriptures were 1 Peter 5 and 7, Psalms 5,
Psalm 56
and 3, Proverbs 3 and 5.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the title of the prayer, Casting All Your Care on the Lord. That means don't pussyfoot around with it. If something's weighing you down, throw it on God immediately.
That's right.
You know, just believe that he's got it and then start thanking
him. Right. That's right. And some people believe that, because I've even had a family member say, because somebody else is trying to tell her, you don't have to, no. Well, one sister was saying that someone else is telling her, you know, that she can keep on praying. She said, well, I'm going to keep on praying. And then another sister was trying to let her know, no, after you pray, just thank God for it. And she didn't agree with that. And I said, but that's showing God faith. After you have prayed and you cast that care on the Lord and you thanking him because you know that he hears your petition. And that's showing him faith that you know that he's going to handle it.
That's
you
right.
You go back to him. And then you start all over again and all over again. And it's just like, you don't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to him and you thank, you catch all your cares over on God and say, Lord, thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for bringing about that. I thank you. And it's not that you worry that he's not going to do it. You know that he's going to do it because you're not going back to him for the same thing. You're going back to him thanking him for it. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. And you said, Lord. And every time, and every time you go back, it's just like you got more and more confidence. You just thank you, Lord. And you can do it almost to the point that you, when I was leaving God for a house, I thanked him so much that I saw a shadow of the house in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like I could reach out and touch it. I mean, I had just that much faith. I believed him for, and I was thanking him for, because I knew what he could do. My boxes were packed up, and I was just waiting for him to say, roll them out. Here go the house. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And believing him for it and thanking him for it because I had the confidence that he had done just what I asked him to do.
Amen. And you're putting your faith words out into the atmosphere, and you're hearing it yourself, which encourages you again.
Mm-hmm.
He said, fear not, be of great courage, you know. God is not mocked.
Yes, yes, yes. We know we have a God that hears us.
Mm-hmm. This is also a way to encourage yourself, you know, going back to the word of God, what he has already said, stand on it, whether you see it or not. just trusting in your heart and then speaking it out of your mouth confirms it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know that he's doing it. Have that confidence, because the enemy's job is to make you think, oh, you might as well stop praying. God didn't hear that. What are you doing with it? Oh, please, shut up. Listen, but no, we know that the God that we serve has heard our prayer, and he is doing something about it. And because we have thanked him, it's just like you put stuff in the bottle, and you filled it, and you kept it, and he said, thank you. We know it's a done deal. And thank you, Jesus.
And you believe that he's working behind the scenes.
That's right. And a lot of times you're not going to see. And you and sometimes, you know how they say things may get worse before they get better?
Yes.
The enemy will try to make you think, that was Fred, didn't he? Hit the ceiling, honey. That's why we have to have confidence in the word of God and knowing the word of God is standing on it. Because his word is not going to return unto him, boy. And we have to, we just have to know, hey, God said it, I believe it, and he said to cast all our cares of it, and I've done what his word says, and Lord, and I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. And that's the difference, like putting it in an envelope and leaving it in the ceiling. It's a done deal.
And anything Satan tells you, reverse the curse, because he's a liar.
That's right. And you know he's not thank you. You know he's lying.
You know he's not telling the truth yet. Amen. Pastor Peter.
Or he'll use other people. You know, and use other people to, to say he hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't done anything yet. You know, it's good to use other people.
Well, he has many devices to discourage you, to steal your joy. It could be a person. It could even be yourself. A thought come into your mind. That's why you have to bring your thoughts under captivity. Don't give them an inch.
Yes. Yes. That's Dr. Bird, time.
Well, yes, I just wanted to share something. He mentioned another short teaching he did about a doorway to knowing God better.
Yes.
We have some time left. Do you want to hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me, I'm just one person. I'm sorry.
Yes, I see.
Sure. What did you say, knowing God better?
Uh-huh. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay.
Yes, sure.
All right. Here
you
go.
Bonus tape.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the doorway to knowing God. Again, today's topic that we're talking about is the doorway to knowing God. You know, one of the most common questions you'll see out there from believers is how do I know God better? In fact, I will tell you that out of all the teachings we do, some of the ones that get the highest response rates are those where we talk about learning to hear God's voice better or how to know God better or know him in a more intimate way. People have a God-shaped hole within their life that desires to be only filled by God. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. Everyone in life, I believe, this is just my personal belief, everyone in life, when they're created with a God-shaped hole within their life. Now, through times in life, they may try to put other things in there as a distraction because they feel empty or they feel a void, and so they'll try to shove something else in there. I remember when I was younger and when I first came to know the Lord, I remember prior to doing that, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and when I finally got of age where I moved out of the house and I was on my own, kind of my own man, so to speak, I remember church fell by the wayside. I quit going to church completely. I would maybe go on Easter. I'd maybe go on Christmas. But basically, church wasn't a priority for me anymore. And as church wasn't a priority for me anymore, after a while, I discovered that God wasn't a priority for me either. Unfortunately, that's just where I was in life. Some of you have been there too. Some of you may be there right now. And I remember as I would go to bed, and this is when I was young. I mean, I was around maybe, gosh, I think I was 19 at the time. But anyways, I was pretty young. And I remember I had a lot of nice things in my life, but I always felt kind of empty. I had a void in my life, and I just didn't know what it was, and I wasn't slowing down enough to focus on it to see what it was I was missing. And so as I would get kind of empty, I'd turn around and I'd go, you know, I had a nice truck at the time, so I'd turn around and I'd go put like a nice sound system in it. And then I'd feel kind of like temporary high and I'd feel good, and then after a while, that'd go away. So I'd go and add some new wheels to the vehicle, and then I felt kind of good. But then after a while, again, I came down off that. And so then I'd turn around and put some new accessories on it. Or I'd turn around and I'd go, you know, find a new activity to be part of, or do a new hobby or something. But no matter what I did, it always was a temporary fix. And each temporary fix that I did was always lasted shorter than the one before. As I did that, it just seemed like as if the walls of my life were starting to close in on me. And I noticed that when I was going to bed at night, as I would lay down, I was feeling very empty and very hollow. And so one night, I remember picking up the phone and calling my mom. Now, you have to understand that I was living long distance away from her. I was living in another city. I called her up, and I remember calling her in the middle of the night. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, and I called her up. Now, back then, that was before the days of caller ID and things of that nature. So as I'm calling her up and my mom picks up the phone that night, she turns around and she answers and she says, hello. And I couldn't even get a word out. I wasn't crying before I got on the phone, but the moment I heard her voice, I started crying. And she's like, mijo, are you okay? Is everything all right? And I'm just crying. And I'm like, I'm fine, mom. She goes, what happened? What happened? You know, and most moms, you know, did you get an accident? Did something bad happen? Are you okay? Is Katie okay? I was dating Katie at the time, but we weren't married yet. Like I said, I was pretty young. And she starts asking me all these questions, and she starts going down, you know, is your vehicle okay? Is your house okay? Is your job okay? Is your relationship with Katie okay? Are you okay? And she went down through all the things that normally people try to find happiness in life with. And as she asked me, I said, mom, I'm fine. All those things you asked are fine. In fact, they kind of couldn't be better. They're all fine. And she goes, then, mijo, I don't understand. Are you lonely? Do you want me to come get you? Do you need us to come get us? Get you? Do you want us to come get you? And I just told her. And the reason why she asked if I was lonely is because I told her, mom, I'm kind of lonely. And she said, you're lonely. Is everything okay with your relationship? Again, she went back to my relationship. I said, everything's fine. She said, we'll come pick you up. I said, mom, you don't need to pick me up. I said, I know what it is. And she said, well, then what is it? Why are you crying? And I said, mom, I recognize that I don't have God in my life anymore. And I also recognize that it wasn't him who walked away from me. It was me who walked away from him. Anyways, I hadn't known or recognized at that point what it was or why I was feeling so empty. But when I got on the phone and called my mom, it started to come up. And as it started to come up and I was able to bring it out and confess it out, I was able to walk through the motions and understand why I was feeling so lonely. The fact was I had walked away from God, and I had not made God a priority in my life. Now, praise God, shortly after that, sometime after that, I went to church, and Katie was with me, and they had an altar call at this church. It was my first time going to a Christian church, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And even though I didn't fully understand what was going on at the time, I knew that there was something missing in my life and what that loneliness was. And when I was waking up in the middle of the night, I was hearing God knock on the door of my heart, calling me home to him. You might be hearing that now or have heard that in the past. And so I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But after I got saved, that didn't necessarily mean life changed. Yes, I was filled with something new on the inside. God said in his word that my new creation, I was a new creation on the inside, but I was still living just the same as I was before. And so what needed to change within my life? The fact was I had Jesus in my life now, but I didn't know Jesus. And so I had to discover what I'm getting ready to talk with you about, and it's a principle that I will refer to as the doorway to knowing God. You know, you could call this the pathway to knowing God or different things, but it's a principle I refer to as the doorway to knowing God. As a believer, no matter where you are at with your relationship with the Lord, and if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, that's very simple. You just need to turn to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and it just says simply that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you're saved. But after you get saved, how do we get to know God better? Or how do we get to know God? The first step you must do as a believer is you must get in God's Word. The fact is you can buy a Bible just about anywhere you go. In fact, many hotels, if you go to a hotel, they have the Gideon's Bible, which is free, and you can take those with you. Those are meant to be given for free. Unfortunately, a lot of hotels are starting to pull them out, but they're still available there. But you can go to a church, and if you ask them for one, they'll almost always give you a Bible. You've got to get in God's Word. And why do we got to get in God's Word? Well, one, all of God's promises are found in His Word. You know, I've heard people talk before about the Bible as an acronym, the B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You know, the fact is the Bible is our instruction, our owner's manual for life, and it's filled with God's promises. But the other thing is, if you really want to get to know God, you need to spend time in His Word, because God's character is defined in His Word, and it's spelled out very simple. In fact, the more time you spend in that Word, I don't want to equate that to something, but if you've ever, you know, decided that you drink more water and quit drinking, you know, sodas or something like that, when you first drink water, it may not taste that good. But as you cut out all the other junk and start only drinking water, you'll get to a point where water tastes so good. And it tastes so good, yeah. If you can't get enough of it, you want to drink more in. Why? Because it's purifying the inside of you. The Word is much the same. The more you spend time in His Word, the less foreign it feels.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people say it's hard to read. Well, then get you a version that's easy to read. There's lots of different versions out there. But the more time you spend in it, the more you'll desire to spend in it and know Him, because the more you're learning about Him and the more you're learning about the promises of God. The second step that you can do to enter the doorway to knowing God, the second step is enter in praise. Praise is when we go before God and we praise Him. We're praising Him for who He is. We're praising Him for what He's done. We're praising Him for the things He's done in our life, the things He's going to do that haven't even happened yet. We praise Him for the promises in His Word. We praise Him for the sacrifice of Jesus, and we're praising Him for all the good things that He's done for us. The more time you spend in praise, the closer you'll get to Him. The third step you can do is spend time in thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? Well, it's similar to praise, and you can give thanksgiving through praise. But thanksgiving is when you simply voice out of your mouth the thanks you have for the things He's done. It's when you take a time, maybe in prayer, and you reflect on the things God's done for you. In fact, one of the beneficial things you can do is create a prayer journal and write all the times, every time God does something for you or He answers a prayer or pulls you out of a situation you need help with, write that down. We'll teach that in another time, how you can put that prayer journal to work and help you out. But one of the best things you can do is, as you're going through and thanking God, it's easy to start thanking Him for the things around Him. Start thanking for the things that you can see that are easy to see. If you're married, thank Him for your spouse. Even if your spouse ain't behaving, thank Him for your spouse. Thank Him for your children. You know, thank Him for your school. If you're going to school, thank Him for your job. Thank Him for your car. Thank Him for the fact that you have gas to put in your car. Thank Him for your groceries. It's not hard to get to a point where we spend time in thanksgiving thanking God. And what I will tell you is that the more you cultivate a walk of thanksgiving, the more you will become thankful for the things around you. And the fourth step you can do is spend time in worship. This is where I believe is the easiest way to gain intimacy in your relationship with the Lord. By intimacy, I'm talking one-on-one fellowship where it's such a closeness and such a tender relationship between you and Him, because you are worshiping Him. You're worshiping Him and you're just thanking Him. And, you know, so if you kind of combine it, you spend time in His Word, you're praising Him, you're offering thanksgiving, and you're worshiping Him for who He is. You're worshiping Him because He's great and He deserves your worship. Those are what I consider the four simple steps for the principle of the doorway to knowing God. Guys, I hope you found this quick teaching encouraging to you. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can check out all of our teaching resources. We post them on there, and they're available to stream 24 hours a day. In addition to that, we invite you to follow us on social media and to connect with us. You can follow us and subscribe to us at our YouTube channel, on Facebook, or on Twitter. We invite you to connect with us and share it with a friend or with a family member. If this is good news for you, and if you're getting fed off these teachings, there's a good chance someone around you will get fed as well. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that this is Lord, and He loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Praise God.
Amen.
What'd you say?
I said, did you get anything out of that?
Yes.
Well, first
yes.
of all, I didn't know there was step two knowing God. It's the first time I've ever heard steps to knowing God.
Yes.
Somehow you sort of fall into it, you know, and you sort of, but to actually give you a format, an outline, how to know God, that for a young Christian, this is vital.
It is a doorway.
And I like
you said, the open door.
Yep.
Go ahead. You finish what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, AJ.
I said, yeah. I said, I learned something because I knew, you know, about, you know, getting saved. You know, that's always the first thing, you know. And I would go from, you know, being saved. And then I have a book of his promises and everything. But I would always go from being saved and, you know, then the praise and the worship. That was basically those. And, you know, I wasn't every day, I wasn't doing the Thanksgiving. You know, that wasn't like an everyday thing. But I knew it was important, you know, and every day. Of course, yeah, I would read my word, like, before I go to bed. But, you know, I like the, you know, the pathway and the doorway. So I like this. So I think it's just something I'm going to, like, put on paper and put in my little corner, you know, that I have. And I think I can follow this. I like it.
Amen.
I'm upset because most churches will give you, have prayer, altar prayer, a call. You want to join the church or you want to know the Lord. They give you this right hand of fellowship. They never give you an outline or steps on how to know the Lord.
And this is so necessary.
Yes, this is so necessary for a young Christian. They need to know what to do. They shake your hand, they pat you on the back and say, praise the Lord, and you go out the door and they don't see you no more. Some of them don't even follow you up. But they can put something in your hand or show you, you know, the format for growing in the Lord day by day, what you can actually do to make yourself feel more anchored. Because Satan is coming after you. He don't want to lose you. But you have nothing to fight back with if you have not been given these principles of how to go through the door successfully. You're going right back out there to what's familiar because you're scared. Nobody's doing their job in church to show you how to anchor yourself in the Lord. And that's a revolving door.
That's right.
Yeah. You're doing them a disservice. You're setting them up for trouble, really.
That was me. I learned.
Let me share this with you real quickly. Again, he named four things. The doorway, knowing God better. One was his word.
Yes.
We have to,
first.
The next one was praise. And praise is telling what God can do. Praising Him for what He can do.
Who He is.
Okay. The praise is telling what He can do. Thanksgiving is thanking Him for what He has done in your life. Worship is saying what He is. You're worshiping Him for who He is. Again, okay. I don't have to, you know, tell you about the word, getting into the word. But praise is showing what He can do.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving is showing what He has done in your life. And worship is showing who He is, praising who He is. honoring who he is. I heard a preacher many years ago talk about praise in the first degree and worship in the first degree. Praise in the first degree is, again, the subject is God, or Christ, the Godhead. And you're saying what God can do. My God can do exceeding abundantly above all the ask and think, according to the power that works within us. That is praise, believe it or not, in the first degree. Because the subject of the song, or what you're doing, is praising what God is capable of doing. Thanksgiving is thanking him for what he's already done in your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Worship.
Amen.
Telling him who he is. Saying who he is. You are the great God from Mount Zion. You are. Let's put it this way. Worship is vertical. Worship in the first degree is vertical. You're talking to God. You're the God. You're wonderful. You're great. You're beautiful. You're omnipotent. You're omniscient. You're just saying who God is. Praise is sharing what God can do. His promises.
You can say things like, remind me, play music, and how windy is it?
My cell phone is trying to talk to me.
Pastor, when you said, when you talk about being vertical, you're talking about what? You started a sentence and stopped.
What is the last thing you said?
I said you started a sentence and stopped. You were saying something is about vertical.
With me. So I'm going to start all over again. Praise.
Okay.
Is praising God, his capabilities, what his promises. You can look at P, praise, talking about his promises, what he can do, his capabilities. Thanksgiving is self-explanatory. Thanking him for what he has done in your life is personal. Now, we can talk about the Red Sea and the Egyptians and stuff like that. That didn't happen to us. That's praise, what he's capable of doing. But worship is vertical. Praise is horizontal, by the way. It's horizontal. Telling what he's capable of doing is sort of horizontal. But worship in the first degree is vertical. You're talking to God. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you. That's worship in the first degree. It's vertical. You can see that when people are singing songs. When the subject of the song is directed vertically to God, I love you, Lord. You know, that's worship in the first degree. Praise in the first degree is horizontal. It is the subject of the song. I'll give you an example. Subject of the song. Jesus lifted me from seeking sand, he lifted me. That's praise in the first degree. Praise in the second degree is cool. It may even flow into being Thanksgiving, but it is. You ought to have been there when I got saved. I started walking. I started talking. That's not praise in the first degree because the subject is not God. These four I guess, levels of, I don't know what are you, I don't know what you call it. Y'all going to help me with that. But it's
principles.
Praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Praise is what God is capable of doing. Thanksgiving is what he's done for you personally in your life. Cause he's done, mm-hmm. And then worship is who he is. And you
mm-hmm.
to him directly. You're not talking
like
about
Jesus.
Him. You're talking to him. Praise, you're talking about him. Thanksgiving, you're thanking him for what he's done in your life, and you're talking to him too. But worship,
mm-hmm.
vertical, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory and honor, glory and honor. Vertical, oh Lord. The praise, thanksgiving, and worship are so tied together that in this
mm-hmm.
Teaching about the prayer of thanksgiving, we also share the word praise and worship along with thanksgiving. But they're slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I didn't confuse the issue. Anybody have a question?
No, it makes sense.
Nope.
It's just such a... It's just a vital teaching that needs to be done, especially to new Christians coming in, that they actually
mm-hmm.
is.
The four yep. elements of spiritual growth. I don't know if that fits that or not. Y'all might have to help me on this one. Because I think we need to know this and be able to do it like we do the three keys to the seven pillars of wisdom, the seven pillars of wisdom, and the five levels of knowledge. We need to do this because I think it was you, Deacon AJ, or somebody said that they wish they had heard this when they came in into the
mm-hmm.
Bible.
Yep. Because I learned it eventually. You know, I know it now, but I can say I learned it eventually. You know, I didn't learn it when I first came to church.
I don't know what we can call that. I don't know. But we'll prayerfully consider. Well, so I try to put something together so that we can, it'll help us to remember. I guess you'll understand what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
that's the walk through the door.
The doorway of knowing God.
The doorway to knowing God.
Steps leading into.
Okay, the doorway to knowing God. Okay.
Yeah.
The pathway, knowing God. I mean, something. Or the path of the learning about God or knowing God. I mean,
once
something.
Once the door is open, you have to make steps inside. So,
mm-hmm.
what
but
you said,
doorway.
I've never heard
the doorway to knowing God.
The doorway to knowing God. That sounds good. The doorway.
Mm-hmm.
But did y'all hear something that I've never heard before? The Bible. It was
yes, I heard him say that.
What did he say?
In the Bible.
Bible
is everything. I'm trying to think. What was he saying about it when he said it? Leading up to it?
Before leaving Earth, the
B-I-B-L-E.
So it's before leaving Earth. Now, the B and the I don't remember. Does anybody remember what he said, the B and I?
Uh-oh. Well, we got time. Can we hit again?
Let's see. Do we have time? Let's look.
It's 8:09. We got time.
Y'all want to hear it again?
Go for it. Yes.
All right.
Excuse me. It's me again. I'm sorry.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yes, Pastor.
I thought we were close to the end.
No, because we zoomed through the first two.
All
We get in on this. This is a bonus tape.
Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Minute. One of the most common questions I get asked by people is how to know God better. We're going to talk about that today. Get ready. Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the doorway to knowing God. Again, today's topic that we're talking about is the doorway to knowing God. You know, one of the most common questions you'll see out there from believers is, how do I know God better? In fact, I will tell you that out of all the teachings we do, some of the ones that get the highest response rates are those where we talk about learning to hear God's voice better, or how to know God better, or know Him in a more intimate way. People have a God-shaped hole within their life that desires to be only filled by God. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. Everyone in life, I believe, this is just my personal belief, everyone in life, when they're created with a God-shaped hole within their life. Now, through times in life, they may try to put other things in there as a distraction because they feel empty or they feel a void, and so they'll try to shove something else in there. I remember when I was younger and when I first came to know the Lord, I remember prior to doing that, I was raised in the Catholic Church. And when I finally got of age where I moved out of the house and I was on my own, kind of my own man, so to speak, I remember church fell by the wayside. I quit going to church completely. I would maybe go on Easter. I'd maybe go on Christmas. But basically, church wasn't a priority for me anymore. And as church wasn't a priority for me anymore, after a while, I discovered that God wasn't a priority for me either. Unfortunately, that's just where I was in life. Some of you have been there too. Some of you may be there right now. And I remember as I would go to bed, and this is when I was young. I mean, I was around maybe, gosh, I think I was 19 at the time. But anyways, I was pretty young. And I remember I had a lot of nice things in my life, but I always felt kind of empty. I had a void in my life, and I just didn't know what it was, and I wasn't slowing down enough to focus on it to see what it was I was missing. And so as I would get kind of empty, I'd turn around and I'd go, you know, I had a nice truck at the time, so I'd turn around and I'd go put like a nice sound system in it. And then I'd feel kind of like temporary high and I'd feel good, and then after a while, I'd go away. So I'd go and add some new wheels to the vehicle, and then I felt kind of good. But then after a while, again, I came down off that. And so then I'd turn around and put some new accessories on it. Or I'd turn around and I'd go, you know, find a new activity to be part of or do a new hobby or something. But no matter what I did, it always was a temporary fix. And each temporary fix that I did was always lasted shorter than the one before. As I did that, it just seemed like as if the walls of my life were starting to close in on me. And I noticed that when I was going to bed at night, as I would lay down, I was feeling very empty and very hollow. And so one night, I remember picking up the phone and calling my mom. Now, you have to understand that I was living long distance away from her. I was living in another city. I called her up, and I remember calling her in the middle of the night. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, and I called her up. Now, back then, that was before the days of caller ID and things of that nature. So as I'm calling her up, and my mom picks up the phone that night, she turns around and she answers, and she says, "Hello?" And I couldn't even get a word out. I wasn't crying before I got on the phone, but the moment I heard her voice, I started crying. And she's like, "Mijo, are you okay? Is everything all right?" And I'm just crying, and I'm like, "I'm fine, Mom." She goes, "What happened? What happened?" You know, and most moms, you know, "Did you get an accident? Did something bad happen? Are you okay? Is Katie okay?" I was dating Katie at the time, but we weren't married yet. Like I said, I was pretty young. And she starts asking me all these questions, and she starts going down, you know, "Is your vehicle okay? Is your house okay? Is your job okay? Is your relationship with Katie okay? Are you okay?" And she went down through all the things that normally people try to find happiness in life with. And as she asked me, I said, "Mom, I'm fine. All those things you asked are fine. In fact, they kind of couldn't be better. They're all fine." And she goes, "Then, mijo, I don't understand. Are you lonely? Do you want me to come get you? Do you need us to come get us? Get you? Do you want us to come get you?" And I just told her. And the reason why she asked if I was lonely is because I told her, "Mom, I'm kind of lonely." And she said, "You're lonely. Is everything okay with your relationship?" Again, she went back to my relationship. I said, "Everything's fine." She said, "We'll come pick you up." I said, "Mom, you don't need to pick me up." I said, "I know what it is." And she said, "Well, then what is it? you crying. And I said, Mom, I recognize that I don't have God in my life anymore. And I also recognize that it wasn't him who walked away from me. It was me who walked away from him. Anyways, I hadn't known or recognized at that point what it was or why I was feeling so empty. But when I got on the phone and called my mom, it started to come up. And as it started to come up and I was able to bring it out and confess it out, I was able to walk through the motions and understand why I was feeling so lonely. The fact was I had walked away from God and I had not made God a priority in my life. Now, praise God, shortly after that, sometime after that, I went to church and Katie was with me and they had an altar call at this church. It was my first time going to a Christian church and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And even though I didn't fully understand what was going on at the time, I knew that there was something missing in my life and what that loneliness was. And when I was waking up in the middle of the night, I was hearing God knock on the door of my heart, calling me home to him. You might be hearing that now or have heard that in the past. And so I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But after I got saved, that didn't necessarily mean life changed. Yes, I was filled with something new on the inside. God said in his word that my new creation, I was a new creation on the inside, but I was still living just the same as I was before. And so what needed to change within my life? The fact was I had Jesus in my life now, but I didn't know Jesus. And so I had to discover what I'm getting ready to talk with you about, and it's a principle that I will refer to as the doorway to knowing God. You know, you could call this the pathway to knowing God or different things, but it's a principle I refer to as the doorway to knowing God. As a believer, no matter where you are at with your relationship with the Lord, and if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, that's very simple. You just need to turn to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and it just says simply that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you're saved. But after you get saved, how do we get to know God better? Or how do we get to know God? The first step you must do as a believer is you must get in God's word. The fact is you can buy a Bible just about anywhere you go. In fact, many hotels, if you go to a hotel, they have the Gideon's Bible, which is free, and you can take those with you. Those are meant to be given for free. Unfortunately, a lot of hotels are starting to pull them out, but they're still available there. But you can go to a church, and if you ask them for one, they'll almost always give you a Bible. You've got to get in God's word. And why do we got to get in God's word? Well, one, all of God's promises are found in his word. You know, I've heard people talk before about the Bible as an acronym, the B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You know, the fact is the Bible is our instruction, our owner's manual for life, and it's filled with God's promises. But the other thing is if you really want to get to know God, you need to spend time in his word because God's character is defined in his word. And it's spelled out very simple. In fact, the more time you spend in that word, I don't want to equate that to something, but if you've ever, you know, decided that you want to drink more water and quit drinking, you know, sodas or something like that, when you first drink water, it may not taste that good. But as you cut out all the other junk and start only drinking water, you'll get to a point where water tastes so good. And it tastes so good, it's like you can't get enough of it. You want to drink more in. Why? Because it's purifying the inside of you. The word is much the same. The more you spend time in his word, the less foreign it feels, the less, you know, sometimes people say it's hard to read. Well, then get you a version that's easy to read. There's lots of different versions out there. But the more time you spend in it, the more you'll desire to spend in it and know him, because the more you're learning about him and the more you're learning about the promises of God. The second step that you can do to enter the doorway to knowing God, the second step is enter in praise. Praise is when we go before God and we praise him. We're praising him for who he is. We're praising him for what he's done. We're praising him for the things he's done in our life, the things he's going to do that haven't even happened yet. We praise him for the promises in his word. We praise him for the sacrifice of Jesus, and we're praising him for all the good things that he's done for us. The more time you spend in praise, the closer you'll get to him. The third step you can do is spend time in thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? Well, it's similar to praise, and you can give thanksgiving through praise, But thanksgiving is when you simply voice out of your mouth the thanks you have for the things he's done. It's when you take a time, Amy, in prayer and you reflect on the things God's done for you. In fact, one of the beneficial things you can do is create a prayer journal and write all the times, every time God does something for you or he answers a prayer or pulls you out of a situation you need help with, write that down. We'll teach that in another time, how you can put that prayer journal to work and help you out. But one of the best things you can do is as you're going through and thanking God, it's easy to start thanking him for the things around him. Start thanking for the things that you can see that are easy to see. If you're married, thank him for your spouse. Even if your spouse ain't behaving, thank him for your spouse. Thank him for your children. You know, thank him for your school. If you're going to school, thank him for your job. Thank him for your car. Thank him for the fact that you have gas to put in your car. Thank him for your groceries. It's not hard to get to a point where we spend time in Thanksgiving thanking God. And what I will tell you is that the more you cultivate a walk of Thanksgiving, the more you will become thankful for the things around you. And the fourth step you can do is spend time in worship. This is where I believe is the easiest way to gain intimacy in your relationship with the Lord. By intimacy, I'm talking one-on-one fellowship where you are, it's such a closeness and such a tender relationship between you and him because you are worshiping him. You're worshiping him and you're just thanking him. And, you know, so if you kind of combine it, you spend time in his word, you're praising him, you're offering thanksgiving, and you're worshiping him for who he is. You're worshiping him because he's great and he deserves your worship. Those are what I consider the four simple steps for the principle of the doorway to knowing God. Guys, I hope you found this quick teaching encouraging to you. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com where you can check out all of our teaching resources. We post them on there, and they're available to stream 24 hours a day. In addition to that, we invite you to follow us on social media and to connect with us. You can follow us and subscribe to us at our YouTube channel, on Facebook, or on Twitter. We invite you to connect with us and share it with a friend or with a family member. If this is good news for you, and if you're getting fed off these teachings, there's a good chance someone around you will get fed as well. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Hallelujah. You know, it sounds like basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's the Bible. Okay.
You're right, Pastor. It was basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Yes.
You're right.
It sounds like praise, thanksgiving, worship is just like types of prayer or gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. They kind of flow into one another. Because I heard that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't pick that up at first, but I heard that when he said praise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were saying some of the same things I would say about Thanksgiving. So we can praise
right.
Him. And Thanksgiving at the same time, and then worship. And when I know we have one of our praise medleys. It starts off talking like we're telling somebody else about what God is doing, how great God is, and then it ends up, "We love you, Lord." We start talking. We were talking horizontal, then all of a sudden we started talking vertically. So it's not. You know, it's just one of those things where they're not in a box. Well, we have praise over here. We have Thanksgiving over here. We have worship over there. It can all flow all together. That's why the type of prayer they said, Thanksgiving, praise, and worship, it got because they're so close to one another. You won't go wrong if you're doing any of those and you're praising God. You're saying Thanksgiving to God. I see Thanksgiving more detail of thanking for what he's already done and doing and going to do in your life. But anyway, any comments?
And thanksgiving is also voicing, putting it out, like I said, out into the atmosphere, which you're thankful for. That's a biggie with thanksgiving. When he was telling the story about himself, when he was feeling so empty, and he called his mother, believe it or not, that exact thing helped happen with my son and I a few months back.
Praise God.
We, you know, our relationship had been up and down. And he was just saying, Ma, I just feel so empty. All I want to do is cry all the time, and I don't know why I'm crying. And all I can say is, baby, it's a hole in your heart because Jesus is not filling it. You're filling the void, almost the same thing his mother said. And he went to her. That's exactly what I had to say to him. And I was hoping he was understanding what I was saying. But you have to seek God's face. And I just told him to pray first and read his word. That's all I could think of at the time, you know. And just repent before the Lord. Come clean first. Then go to him and tell him what you just told me.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? You could also send him, send him to YouTube, Neil Reyes, as a doorway to knowing God better.
Amen.
And you know what? I thought of this four ways to knowing God better. So we count that there are going to be four ways. And that may be how we share that.
Four, we title it. Yes, we can title it that way.
Four ways knowing God better. But I thank all of you. And as I've shared with you, I see a lot of you think, I don't know what you think, because I can't read your mind. But I want you to know I'm learning like y'all are. I'm sitting right at the feet of Jesus just like y'all are. And I'm learning as go. And we're going to, I'll tell you, God is going to do something very special for us because we're taking time to learn him, to see his
on purpose,
to understand
That's
his
right.
word in a deeper and better and fuller way. It's just awesome. I venture to say that preachers that don't know as much as y'all know about God and his word and his way. Someone was getting ready to say something.
Oh, I forgot what it was. But Pastor, we're learning together, and that's what makes it so good. But it makes us hungrier for the next phase. Even like when you start to read the word of God, it just gets gooder and gooder. You don't want to put it down. You say you're going to read 15 minutes, you look up, it's an hour later, and then you want to go to the next one. But putting yourself in the place where you're getting the word, a daily diet of it, makes you hungrier for it.
Amen.
Because it fattens up in a man.
Amen. Next week is going to be United of Corporate Prayer and Intercessory Prayer. So encourage someone else to be on the call. I did text someone. I'm going to text them next week, a whole lot of other folks, because people need to hear this.
Yes.
People need to hear this. People are going through stuff that's unnecessary because they haven't heard the complete word of God, the authentic word of God. We're trying to be real. I don't know about y'all. I want to be real with God. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. I want to be authentic. I don't want to be perpetrating no hoax. I don't want to be hollow. I want to be deep in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Not so I can say, look at me, but so I can say, look at God. Thank you, Jesus.
That's right. Okay.
Hallelujah. Because it ain't about
to do nothing. Go ahead.
I'm finished.
No, it's just that they're nuggets, secrets that are hidden in God's word. And you don't come after him and seek it and dig into the word. He said, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. The knowledge is in the book, to read the book, to hear what your maker is saying to you and the promises he has for you and how we can win on earth and win with him by reading his book.
Basic instructions before leaving earth. I have never heard that. This is the first time I've ever heard that.
That was good. That was good, Pastor. Yeah.
I was led to ask because he mentioned that. And I said, well, what was that? So we were able to play it twice.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, Pastor Peters, you have some words before we close out today?
No, continue to build on what has been laid and continue to study. Don't, I guess, collect notes and don't open them up until again next Tuesday. Build on what we have and practice it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the more you will become familiar with it.
And you'll be comfortable in it, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Put it into practice, yeah.
Bless God. All minds clear?
Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. This is good.
Tomorrow. What was that?
Hebrew saying getting gooder and gooder.
Yes, yes.
Look, probably next year that's going to be the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language.
That came. That came out the middle of the book.
Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tomorrow to tomorrow night, Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Glory to God. We thank you all for on today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now unto him was able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. Jude 1, verse 24 and 25. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Lord,
mm-hmm.
Lord, shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Mm-hmm.
In
name. Amen.
Everyone said.
Amen.
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 You know, God loves you, and nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you can do about it.
Have a blessed night.
All righty then.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night.